So the official name of this feast of Christ the King is the Solemnity of Our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the Universe. It's a reminder that our Lord Jesus isn't just a man who began his existence 2,000 years ago in ancient Israel, but long before he took on human flesh, he was the eternal Word of the Father, that is existing with the Father and the Holy Spirit as one God from all eternity. Together as the three persons of the Trinity, they are the source of all creation, right? The cause of the Big Bang, if the leading theory of the beginning of the cosmos is indeed accurate. But unique among that creation is the human person, right? Who is made in the very image and likeness of God. That is, a creature who is made with a free will that can think rationally, create, and love, most importantly. But along with that ability to love is to choose not to love and act against who the Creator made the human person to be. Without that ability, you can't really love, because then you're just like the rest of creation. And in this sense, each human person is a kingdom unto himself or herself, in that he or she can keep even the King of the Universe from reigning in his or her life. That was the risk, God's risk in making human persons in his image and likeness. Do you see the great power that God has given you and me, that we can reject the reign of the very source of all being in our very lives? The rest of creation, what, simply follows that circle of life? Right? The sun, the moon, the stars, vegetation, earth, wind, and fire, all the elements, birds, fish, mammals, reptiles, amphibians, arthropods, all live and act by instinct and are dictated by the laws of nature. But the human person is the only earthly creature that can introduce moral goodness into the world, but also introduce moral evil in the world. When a shark eats, you know, a seal, or a lion devours an antelope, or even if those animals attack humans, we don't call them murderers, right? That would be silly. It's because we know that they aren't free moral agents like you and me. They are simply acting in accord with their nature. But you and I, we can and often do use our free will to act against our human nature. And it's acting against who God has made us to be as images and likenesses of him who is love that causes the moral chaos, the broken relationships that we have in the world around us. Instead of shaping our desire and our will to be in accord with God's plan for our happiness and fulfillment, humanity, by and large, has said, forget you, God. I want to be the king or queen of my own kingdom. I know I've been guilty of that, because I remember in my prayer when I was a college student one time, I saw a vision of a throne that I knew symbolized my life. And I knew that Jesus was the one who was supposed to be sitting and reigning on that throne as king. But instead, it was me. And that revelation cut me to the heart. It's like that prodigal son who no longer wanted to live with his loving father so that he can do his own thing and live La Vida Loca, right? In leaving his father, the son basically said, I don't want to have anything to do with you. I know better than you what's going to make me happy. And that essentially is what much of humanity has told God. And we see where that approach has gotten us. And so today's Solemnity of Christ the King is of great importance, because it gives you and me the opportunity to say once again to Jesus at this Holy Mass, Dear Jesus, I not only recognize you as Lord of the universe, but I recognize you as the Lord of my very life, to reign in my kingdom, because I give that kingdom over to you. Right? To recognize that our lives are not about us, but about something much bigger than us. Because you are the very instruments by which God reveals his love to the people in your lives, the very instruments by which your parents, your kids, your whole family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, and even strangers on the street can see the truth and the love of the King of the universe. You were made in the image and likeness of an invisible God for a reason, so that you can be visible icons of the wisdom and love of God in this world, to introduce and generate moral goodness and beauty in this world rather than moral evil and depravity. Our young people are failing to see the goodness, the truth, and the beauty of God because far too many are consumed by living in our own puny kingdoms over and above advancing the kingdom of God. Friends, you were made for something much grander than the loneliness of your own little kingdom. As Jesus put it, you are the light of the world. In other words, you are meant to shine and make visible the goodness, the truth, the beauty of God to the people he has placed in your life, so that they don't have to feel like all they have left, all that they have to resort to, is the counterfeit goodness, the counterfeit truth, the counterfeit beauty that the world so often upholds and pushes on us, but leaves so many people empty. And the first step of doing that is ensuring that we ourselves don't fall for the counterfeits, where we're letting the world dictate our time, priorities, and schedules to such an extent that our daily prayer and worship of God gets crowded out. And when that happens, what can happen is then we never get around to living a life that's any different from people who have no relationship with God at all. And it doesn't make for effective witness. But I want to share with you a positive example, one that we celebrated just last evening at the 4:15 Mass, when we witnessed the sacrament of her confirmation, as well as her and her groom's marriage vows before God, making their civil marriage into the sacrament of matrimony. I did confirm with them that it's okay to share these details of their story. So your fellow parishioners, John and Marcy Pfeiffer, they met in the winter of 2004. They often go to this Mass or the 10, but they went to 4:15 because that's when we celebrate one of the three dates that we celebrate confirmations in the year is the solemnity of Christ the King, the Mass of Anticipation. So they were both in prior marriages, John and Marcy were, but at this point they had been divorced for some time. John had two children by this point. They dated for a while and got engaged on Father's Day of the following year, 2005, and went through a civil marriage over 14 years ago on October 15, 2005. So John grew up Catholic, Marcy grew up as a Baptist. But along the way, John got more interested in his Catholic faith of his childhood. Marcy wanted to go deeper in her Christian faith as well, and so she didn't mind accompanying John on Sundays for Mass. And early in 2017, they walked into St. John, and Marcy just felt so at home. They both began going to Catholicism 101, which, as many of you know, also serves as our RCIA classes for those who aren't Catholic but are interested in possibly becoming one. So John would go with her to the classes, and he thought he was doing it for her sake. But like most cradle Catholics who got confirmed as an adolescent but never invested in any adult faith formation, John soon realized how much he didn't know about his Catholic faith. John said, "I was learning and growing just as much as she was." What also helped them to become united in their faith was their prayer together in Eucharistic adoration. Every week for a few months, they came to the adoration chapel, and they both were hungering to be full-fledged practicing Catholics. But they also knew that they had both been married before. So they met with me in October of 2017. So over 2 years ago now, we began the annulment process for both of them. And after that very first meeting, they both agree to themselves to agree to live as brother and sister until they knew for sure that their prior marriages were not valid ones in the eyes of the church, right? Having lived 12 years as a married couple up to that point, their pledge as living as brother and sister was not easy, but they persevered all the way to this very weekend in doing so, in preparation for their true sacramental marriage that we celebrated last evening on this solemnity of Christ the King. A true testament that Jesus was truly king of their lives. For over 2 years, Marcy has been coming to Mass with John each and every Sunday morning, longing for the Eucharist. When she prays during Mass, she's so fixed on the Eucharist that she says she just watches. She can't even bow her head, so focused she is on what's going on at the altar, prayerfully pondering on how one particle of Jesus in the Eucharist, she says, one drop of that precious blood can save the whole universe. So that 2 year wait for Jesus in the Eucharist ended last evening. And both John and Marcy have said the last 2 years have been totally worth the wait for both the sacraments of marriage and the Eucharist. And they've grown so much by going to Catholicism 101 on Wednesday nights. For 2 full years they did that they both feel that every Catholic should go, every cradle Catholic that hasn't done any adult faith formation should go through a year of Catholicism 101 on Wednesday nights. Not just one time, but once every 4 years, just to keep fresh. John said, a lot of us lifelong Catholics don't know our stuff. And going into it, I didn't realize what I didn't know, he said. I know Patrick can relate to that. He's so told me that before as well. So come on Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. You don't even have to let Todd Gale or Angel Kirkle know in advance. So John and Marcy also recommended 2 things that you can do on your way to and from work, which is Catholic radio. You know, we have Good Shepherd Radio and the Rosary. And both things help us to develop a contemplative aspect to our often very hectic lives, as both practices help you to chew on what you're learning. And after dinner most evenings, they read a daily devotional together. So I share these things with you just so as an example that it is possible to live the kingdom of God in the midst of the world. I know many of you have your own daily prayer schedules that look different from John and Marcy's, but if you haven't developed one yet, please find one that works for you, because it's our worship here and our daily prayer that we sense our mission and our marching orders from Christ the King. So as we transition into the liturgy of the Eucharist in these few moments of silence, take the opportunity to pray in your heart, dear Jesus, I not only recognize you as the Lord of the universe, but more, in my case, the Lord of my life. As our Blessed Mother Mary did, I surrender every aspect of my life to you. Lord, I take you as my King, not just on Sundays, but every day and for all eternity. Be it done to me according to thy word.